All right, Bob Siegel. California just had a recall election. Bob, would you share your recollections of that recall with all of us? What are your initial impressions, takeaway? The man you love is still governor of California.
Let me give you Newsom's response, which was very predictable. He is now emboldened. He's going to double down. This governor who releases prisoners allows you to walk into a store and steal up to $1,000 or $999 worth of goods, where people walk up to restaurants right outdoors and just take things off people's tables. Customers, the customers let them do it. The owners let them do it because they know the police will do nothing. The police would want to do something, but the police have their hands tied. And now Newsom's saying this was not a vote against a recall. It was a vote for health. And he's going to double down on the vaccines. I believe he's referring to this idiotic mandate that Biden just gave. Your governor's not going to go along with it. Guess what our governor's going to do? So the news, and unfortunately it's even from Fox News, is that he won by a landslide. Now that's Governor Newsom's interpretation. I knew you would ask me about this, Ryan, so I thought long and hard and put a lot of work into my own commentary. Here it is. It sucks raw eggs with two straws.
Indeed it does. Indeed it does. And by the way, we are doing, this is Winston R. Holland with World News Brief here. Joining me over Zoom is Bob Siegel of The Bob Siegel Show. We're doing a joint combined show, and today we are focusing on the California recall, amongst other things that I'm sure will come up from time to time. But I think if it would have gone in Larry Elder's direction, it would have been absolute, beyond absolute proof that the 2020 election was completely fraudulent. But I'm looking at the latest numbers here, and for what it's worth, I mean, it's like a 66% of California.
That's impossible, Ryan. I mean, it's,
but,
I know it's,
but Bob, it says it on the New York Times, Bob. It says,
oh, well,
it,
oh, you didn't tell me it was the New York Times.
It's on the Times.
Just get the LA Times and CNN to confirm, and then I don't look. I know those are the numbers they're reporting, and I want to be fair. There are enough complete idiots in California to have really wanted to vote that guy back in, enough people that have been frightened. Certainly the majority of the Republicans left the state years ago. However, the independents, of which I am one, they loved Newsom when they first voted him in. Not me. I didn't vote for that guy. But most independents did. He's at the bottom of the tank with independents. Significant number of Democrats can't stand him. Larry Elder was surging. And of course, Larry Elder did beat out the other possible replacement candidates. Is it possible that in a fair election, Newsom would have still squeaked it out? I don't say no. I'm inclined not to believe it, but I wouldn't absolutely say it could not have happened. But at the very, 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 very least, it would have been close. And we have all kinds. I've had several times on my program, Ruth Wise from Election Integrity Project. I was in touch with her on and off these last couple of days. I've heard stories going on. Person after person comes to a poll. They're told, you already voted. They say, but I did not already vote. Oh, well, we'll tell you what. We'll give you a provisional vote. Thank God. That'll take care of it. Then somebody later on is going to make a judgment call over who really voted. And there are some honest precincts. I believe the precinct I went to was honest because the guy that was running it, he and I got talking when I finally put my thing or handed it to him, and then he gave it back and sealed it. We put it in the box. He said, he made a little joke. Superman's been our subject lately, right? He says, not only Superman could see this. I said, I don't care if Superman sees it. I just don't want Dominion going near this. And then I said, hey, that's just me. He says, no. It's a lot of us. So I think I at least voted at a place that did it honestly. Unfortunately, this is California. And I of course they cheated. We knew they were going to cheat. Why else do you send out mail-in ballots? Newsom, because of the recall, decided to expand the executive order about COVID that was already in operation. He decided to expand that and extend it and have mail-in ballots sent to everybody so that nobody would catch COVID for the sake of your health, because we care about you. We
care.
Who defund the police, and we who let people defecate out on the streets, and we who let people walk into stores, and we who leave riots alone and let the police stand down. We just care about you. Yeah, right. If you believe that, I have a bridge in New Jersey I want to sell you. And so it makes it virtually impossible not to cheat. When you have that many ballots going around, of course they did. They openly brag about the fact often that the ends justify the means. And we've seen this, Ryan, what the Democrats and liberals call fake news today, a couple of years later, they're reveling in it. We talked about this on the last crosstalk. Later on, they'll admit that they stole the election from Donald Trump. Later on, they'll admit that they stole this election. Again, in this case, I'm absolutely positive they were cheating. It's been absolutely proven. What was it enough to make the difference? We'll only know if there's a real forensic audit or if they just go and do all the matchups that they need to do. Who exactly went ahead and registered? How many people are on record? In one county, we were told that 75% of the people, as of the day before the election, so that was the day before, but as of that time, in one of those counties, at one of their polls, 75% of the people came in and were told they had already voted, 75%.
Wow.
75% were told you already voted. Now, obviously that always happens here and there. Mistakes happen. But come on, folks, do the math. This isn't rocket science. So, of course, he cheated. Given that it's California, I would have been willing to say, yeah, maybe in a fair election, he might squeak it out, but it would have been close. So when they say he won by a landslide, that is simply not true. Everyone who lives here knows this. They know the temperature. They know, they talk to people on the streets, everybody, Democrat, Independent, Republican. They can't stand this guy. Yeah, they got behind him at first because the government scared everyone to death about COVID, but they're wising up. They figured out that the just 15 days from back in May of, actually back in April of 2020, that we can do this for just 15 days. They figured out that it's now 2021, and it's occurred to them that those 15 days are over. A lot of people aren't buying it, but the fix was in from the beginning.
Do you think, so obviously you have an opinion about what's been going on.
Who, me?
I think. Yeah. I wasn't sure. I usually
feel so neutral, but if you press my arm.
Okay.
And
I'm just
really
trying to pull it out of you, Bob.
Get
just
an opinion
look,
out of me.
Open up. Okay. That's what this is for.
I try. It's
okay.
So hard.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Me.
So
help me with it.
So, an opinion I would like to get your thoughts on are, do you think it's interesting that Larry Elder distance himself from Donald Trump? And I want to read this paragraph from, there's this article on the American Thinker. It's California, a legit recall result, yes, but plenty of evidence of fraud. They kind of seem to think that, it's a good article. They tend to think that Newsom would have pulled it out in a fair fight, but they also show up all this evidence of fraud. But They said this, Larry Elder did bring up there was evidence of fraud going on, but effectively undercut his argument by, earlier in the race, dismissing President Trump's claims of 2020 election fraud. Fraud in California now, but no fraud in 2020? Give us a break. There's fraud embedded in the system. It just didn't make a difference this time. And also that he essentially, he wasn't in, and there was another article as well that was kind of going through talking about, he essentially was not interested in partnering with Trump in this election. So you had Newsom, and you had not only the California, thuggish political apparatus, but then you had Biden, you had Harris, you had the whole Democrat national and global machine behind Newsom, and Elder, as a newcomer, as an outsider. He didn't have anybody. He didn't have a big national movement behind him. And I think he didn't, in part because he didn't, you know, if he didn't embrace, he rejected claims of outright voter fraud, probably not all voter fraud, but at least some voter fraud, apparently. And he didn't really embrace a big movement that could have helped him out. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are on the Trump Elder kind of phenomenon. It seems like it could have maybe been maybe more helpful to Elder.
I was very disappointed when I heard that he discounted election fraud in the 2020 presidential election. And I know he's defended Trump a lot on the radio. One of the reasons we get behind these radio talk show hosts, of which you and I are, but not of the national
well-known ilk of him.
When you're on doing talk radio, you can say whatever you want. And if people like it and you're getting good ratings, you can just say it. It's one of the last bastions of free speech in this country. Comedy comedians used to be the last bastion, but they're falling by the wayside too. So Larry Elder, the real Larry Elder, was gaining a lot of momentum. Unfortunately, you start a campaign, you start having campaign advisors, which he didn't have on the radio. He defended Trump a lot. He's a lot like Trump, more eloquent than Trump. And look, I love Trump. I love Trump. But I think Larry Elder could go into a debate and demolish somebody in an argument. Trump could make good points and be funny. Trump's like a male Ann Coulter, though, just a lot of shock value and humor, and people love him. But Larry Elder could say it coherently, and Larry Elder is every bit as independent. So he was very much like Trump, and therefore it was a mistake to distance himself from Trump. And Larry, all I've got to say is, you don't think there was fraud in the last election? What's your opinion on that now? How do you like it now?
Yeah.
So I do think that was a mistake. I'm not necessarily convinced that he lost for that reason. I will mention another reason, though, that it goes into it, another possible reason or something that didn't help. We just have too many Republicans and conservatives that have given up. And look, I get it. I dragged myself down to the polls. I had an extremely busy day yesterday. It was really inconvenient to go down and vote in an election that I wasn't sure would really matter. I said, and you know, we talked about this, Ryan, if God doesn't, somebody asked me the night before, what's going to happen? I said, if it's a real election, Larry Elder will not only win, he'll win by a landslide, but it won't be a fair election. So probably Newsom will win, but on the top, it's going to be up to God. Donald Trump himself and their team didn't expect to win in 2016. They were pleasantly surprised.
Right.
I give that one to God.
Yeah.
And then Donald Trump overwhelmingly won by much more of a margin than he did last time. But the Democrats, who were caught off guard, they learned from that and they stacked the deck. Unfortunately, in the realm of spiritual warfare, for those of your listeners who follow the Bible, we'll give that one to Satan. Then you go to the governors. Well, Andrew Cuomo, who was so popular this time last year that women were buying underwear with his name on it.
It's disturbing.
And he was given an Emmy Award for his drivel every morning, talking about the crackerjack job he was doing fighting COVID. He didn't mention that time he took all those COVID patients and stuck them into nursing homes. He probably forgot to mention that part. But he has imploded. He's gone. So did I have some hope that between... It's been kind of checkered. We seem to be in the middle of this, obviously, a spiritual warfare. God help us if it becomes a real warfare. But there is a battle for the soul of our country going on. And it's been win one, lose one, win one, lose one. So I wasn't sure. I was pretty sure that if God didn't choose to do a miracle, it would be given officially to Newsom. Again, I'm not, unlike Trump, I will say with Trump, he absolutely won that election. It was absolutely stolen. It has been absolutely proven. It is evidence that would hold up in any courtroom if our feckless, spineless, weak-kneed courts would be willing to look at it. I don't know about California, because it is California, and you have a lot of people here, despite everything, that like him. I honestly know, though, that it would be closer if it was honest. If it, at the very least, it would be
much closer.
There is no way Newsom took this in a landslide. I'm sorry. And it's going to come out over the next few days. I already know some of it because I was keeping ahead of it. It's going to come out in the days, the weeks, the months ahead. We're going to hear person after person talk about how they were told they already voted. They basically, the mail-in ballot was all they needed to do.
But it's nothing to see here, just like any injuries from the COVID jab or anything that they don't want you guys to see, any of us to see.
And they were used, by the way, they were using Dominion machines anyway. So even people like me who went down personally and made sure that it was me and I put it in the box, it all still goes to the freaking Dominion machine. So who knows, Ryan?
Well, hey, you know what?
Who knows if we've had a fair election in California for the last 20 years? They got rid of voter ID a long time ago.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, and this is something that I mentioned to you when we were texting this morning about this show, that I really don't think that you're going to see a fair election again in a place like California until you have a Republican administration that takes over the office of the presidency and the Justice Department, and then launches a real investigation into these states with apparent widespread.
Hey, wait a minute, fraud. Ryan. Are you saying that we're dreaming of a time when we would have the Republicans take the White House and the Senate and the House and have the majority on the Supreme Court? Oh, wait, we had that.
Oh,
and the rhinos ruined it for us.
They did.
So I hope the Republicans take things back, but boy, the Republicans talk really tough when they're the minority party. Whenever they're able to actually do something, that's where we see the true colors. Not all of them. There's Jim Jordan.
There's a few
people like that. Matt Gaetz.
You know, it's the Uniparty.
Ron DeSantis. Yeah. A few good men.
Yeah. A few good men. But that's what it is. It's the Uniparty. This is the party that sends bills to Barack Obama, you know, once a year or whenever to repeal Obamacare, and he vetoes it. And then when Trump's in office, they don't send him that same bill. That's ultimately
that's a perfect example.
Yeah, it's the Mitt Romneys of the world. It's the John McCains of the world. And even more, I mean, you had 19 Republican senators that crossed over on the, you know, $1 trillion spending bill that they did. And yeah, trying to give Joe Biden a win, trying to rescue Joe Biden. This is the Uniparty. That's what we are fighting against. And I'm with you. And that's why it would be a miracle, Bob, to have an administration like that would then actually investigate this and truly try to use the power of the federal government to ensure fair elections.
We got in 2016 in that election was a president of an administration like that, but the actual administration working under him had too many people sold out to the deep state.
Deep state.
And that, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that is everybody's problem on the left with Trump. When they say he was a racist, remember, these are people who have asked him for money, who hobnobbed with him, including many Hollywood celebrities.
Oh, yeah.
He was a celebrity on NBC for many years. Remember with that reality show?
Yeah, like 15 years.
Fired. He was invited to Chelsea Clinton, Hillary's daughter's wedding. None of them believe he's a racist. The problem was he won the election and he was going to discover their deep state because he couldn't be bought. He already had money. He's a bull in a China cabinet. He had not been 100% conservative, but he's a quick study. He learns fast. And they knew that if he saw what was going on, he'd just tell us, because one thing people that talk without filters do, and I know people that talk without filters are annoying, but one thing they do is they just spit out what they're really thinking. So the truth comes out. That was the problem. They coronated Hillary. She did not win. That was unforgivable. So they wanted to impeach him. They wanted to investigate him. And it's like, oh, well, Robert Mueller, he's himself a Republican. Big freaking deal. That means nothing anymore.
You think he voted for Donald Trump?
Republicans have become nothing but Democrat light. That's all it is. Democrat light. Remember Pepsi light? This is Democrat light.
Yeah, there is no Republican. And I've said this many times. There is no Republican or Democrat. That's gone. I mean, yes, those parties technically still exist and people are registered as one or the other, but you're essentially for liberty and you're for our Constitution and the type of government that our founders set up, or you're for tyranny. And that's essentially where we're at right now. And that's why I think there are some people that are confused, like the Bill Maher's of the world, who are come out in favor of free speech and even in favor of some bodily autonomy with the clot shot, but you know they're still in allegiance with a party that is completely turned their back on liberty and their man and is mandating these draconian, these tyrannical Nazi like mandates just by edict, Bob. I mean, it's just by edict. The words of Biden's mouth, if he can actually get them out clearly and coherently, his words force businesses all over across the entire country to require the jab or to require testing, costing them so much more money, destroying people's liberty. And that's why if you're for that, you're for tyranny. You're for the Nazis. You're for the Stalinists. You're for the empire, right? If we're going to give
folks, just because we have a blundering, blithering idiot up there, don't think for a minute that he isn't a dictator. I realize that you have to pay no attention to the man behind the curtain because somebody's pulling his strings, but you have, or maybe you should really call it an oligarchy behind him running the country. And you're absolutely right, Ryan. We don't really have Republicans and Democrats anymore. We are fast tracking ourselves to becoming Venezuela, where we'll still have elections, but it'll be like, you have two choices. You want to vote for Hugo Chavez or Chavez Hugo? Those are your two choices.
Right. Yeah, that's and look, that's what happened. The Dominion machines come into Venezuela, and voila, you have a hard leftist in charge destroying the country. I mean, it's the name. What is the name? The name Dominion. I mean, think about that.
Doesn't that tell you something? Yeah, right,
I mean,
there?
That's what they choose to name their voting machine company, right?
Along
I mean,
with smarter than the average idiot, Matic.
Yeah,
that machine too.
Right. So,
the narrative here in California was that if you wanted to overcome Governor Newsom, you were a racist. And then if you say, well, how can that be if we're actually voting for an African American? Well, he's not really an African American. He's the black face of white supremacy. They just make it up as they go. And if we don't go along with it, we're accused of being a racist. And by the way, all the white people that do go along with it are also accused of being racist. Where they're told that if you don't admit to being a racist, you're especially racist. Then if you admit it, oh, see, you admitted it. No matter what you do, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to call you a racist. If you dropped dead, it wouldn't be enough. They'd complain that you were having a funeral because it was a racist funeral. We've got to wake up and say no longer. We're sick and tired of this. We got to become that guy from the movie Network. Any of you that haven't seen the movie Network, you need to download it or rent it or go order it off Amazon today, where he says, I'm mad as hell and I'm not taking it any longer.
Yeah. I mean, it's truly remarkable what I believe Gavin Newsom, didn't he come out and he said that a vote for Larry Elder is a vote against diversity. Which is fascinating because my understanding of California is that Larry Elder would have been the first black governor of California in your nation's history.
And dictators, and I'll call him a dictator, dictators who are telling us to lock in step have no credibility to use the word diversity. They don't mean diversity of opinion. We don't dare have another opinion. I did on my radio show, as you know, a whole thing about another measure they just passed in San Diego, where they're going to label disinformation anyone who speaks against the vaccine. And they have the gall to say that that's not an attack on freedom of speech. Oh, no. Why is it not an attack on freedom of speech? Well, they just said it wasn't an attack on freedom of speech. So there you go.
And that's why whatever you say gets labeled. And so immediately, right there.
You're still allowed to say it without going to jail, but we're going to label it.
Yeah, we're going to label it. And what that does is it immediately puts a stamp of delegitimization on you. And that's whereas you should be able to, in a free society, in a truly liberal society, you should be able to share your opinion, share your thoughts, and those thoughts be, let's see if they can stand the scrutiny of public debate. But when the government, and you've already seen this with Facebook, with YouTube, with Twitter, Instagram, anything that you put up there having to do with COVID has that little box right there that you then, you know, you can click on and go and get the real information, because somehow, some way, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Google, they are, of course, the resources. They, of course, for sure, have the most accurate information. Why is that? Well, because they're Facebook. Because they're rich. Because they're good. Oh, and they're LinkedIn. They're partnered with the Center for the Dissemination of Communism, the CDC, which is a total political organization. That's a whole other show. But that's essentially where we are at, Bob. We're at a crossroads in a pretty major way with our country now. Maybe I myself am just completely delusional. I still have hope and I still have optimism for our nation. I'm doing my best to not let what's going on get me down. And I have some reasons for my optimism, but I mean, where do you see things going? I mean, you're from California. I wanted to have this show with you specifically because, I mean, you're in the belly of the beast. You're in San Diego. You're in a county that's, you just mentioned, is you know, hurting people's freedom of speech. Labeling.
Well, and they're bragging about the fact that they're the first county in the nation to do it. I had always thought of San Diego. We have a lot of liberals here because we have three universities here, but we also have the Navy base, and so it's been a mixed bag.
Do you
here
think
in San
the people?
Diego. I don't feel like living in. I don't feel very honored living in the first county to go along with these national mandates.
with that kind of this Orwellian just
and getting
censorship.
Back to the thing about the freedom of speech. Yeah, we can legally still speak out, but we're going to be labeled as saying dangerous things. All that has to happen is for somebody to come along and say, this dangerously established speech encouraged somebody to resist the vaccine and they died. Heck, on some of the cable networks, they're already calling you a murderer if you're against the vaccine. They're
already saying that's what Joe Biden said.
And you shouldn't be admitted to a hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Healthcare
Biden said we have to protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Healthcare is a human right, is this basic human right, unless you don't have the COVID shot. I mean, that's pretty remarkable, right?
And if the vaccine works so well, why are we protecting the vaccinated from the unvaccinated?
Yeah, and what they're doing...
We need to protect ourselves from people like Joe Biden. That's what we need.
That is. This is Jim Crow 2.0. This is the demo KKK rat party enacting their segregation in their DNA.
And look at the way they treated Larry Elder. He's black, but he's not our kind of black. Why? Because he left their plantation. It's the same Dixiecrat Democrat Party.
Yeah, he's the black face of white supremacy, right?
They also accused Candace Owens. Candace Owens stood before Congress. They accused her of being a white supremacist because she was speaking out against Antifa and Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, and if it had been reversed, if there had been a Republican office and Larry Elder was a Democrat, a white Republican, and Larry Elder was the Democrat going, they would have been talking non-stop about this.
This is the opportunity for the very first
black governor of California. And that shows you how the whole race thing is a complete fraud. It's not about the first of anything. I remember Kellyanne Conway was the first woman to successfully run a winning presidential campaign. They didn't care one blip.
Well, Clarence Thomas was the second, but one of the very few black. He was a Republican. Yeah. He doesn't care. You're an Oreo, you know, black on the outside, white in the middle. Again, they just make it up.
There was a
recent editorial, I believe, in the New York Times where they're trying to now codify this and make it more official that we've got to move beyond saying that only white people have white privilege. You can be black and have white privilege. Translation.
Oh,
if you voted for Trump.
Gosh.
And you know why they'll get away with it, Ryan? Because they're talking to a culture that's been taught, I look like a man, but I might be a woman. Well, okay. Here's what I think. Personally, in my heart, I don't think COVID exists. And personally, in my heart, I don't think the vaccine exists. Because I really feel that way.
Yes,
in
exactly.
My heart. Their own lingo and their own language.
Yeah. In my heart, I identify, I haven't been vaccinated, but I identify as having been vaccinated. In my heart, I don't wear
a
mask.
That's the perfect way to put it. But I identify
as wearing a mask. So
I really do, because I've had COVID and recovered and I have the natural.
Yeah, so I know.
In my case, I actually can identify if it was a good vaccine. But the point is,
even a person that had
anything, we're living in the culture where I thought you could go into a courtroom now and just say, I don't identify as a criminal. I mean, we're practically there.
Yeah,
practically.
We are.
You can't make this stuff up any faster. You can't joke about this or be satirical any faster. They're going to put Mad Magazine out of business and The Onion and the Babylon Bee because the real headlines are idiotic and stupider than the made up funny stuff.
Well, Bob, you were telling me about something, but right before we came on, you were telling me about something that you had predicted the day before and you saw actually come true today. You've got to share that with the listeners.
Well, I was doing my broadcast show, and to the podcast audience, it has been turned into my broadcast shows get edited into my podcast show. So any of you listening on the CGM network can hear that. And I was with my producer, Brendan Thomas, toward the end of the show, last few minutes. We were going over some miscellaneous news items. And I said this tongue-in-cheek, and it was one of those things where it's kind of like what I just did now. Tongue-in-cheek, I said, Brendan, let me tell you, and I've said this before on the radio, the day's going to come when even if you're on a Zoom call in the privacy of your own home, they're going to ask you to wear a mask just to be supportive. And then I said, I'm saying this part tongue-in-cheek, part predicting. I said, this could become dated tomorrow. Then the next day, as I was editing the show, just on a whim, I thought, well, actually, this probably really has come up, but maybe, maybe not. And just on a whim, I found out what I read was dated August 10th. So, okay, officially, it's not something about the future I predicted because it had happened, but I did not know.
Yeah.
I did not know.
Yeah.
I found out that in Milwaukee, the Department of Human Services has put out an edict, or the paper I was reading from was Milwaukee, was putting out an edict that they want all of their employees to wear Zoom masks on any business meeting, whether they're there in person or not, even if you're participating from the privacy of your own home. And that way you are showing your solidarity with the standards of the Department of Human Services. So, yeah, it made a hilarious joke earlier, but it's not funny anymore.
Yeah, it's not. And ultimately what that is really is because we know what this mask is. The mask is a symbol of submission and obedience and solidarity with the New World Order, with the Great Reset. And they want those masks everywhere as much as possible. It muzzles us. It dehumanizes us. It's simply incredible. And that's how they want to see everybody. Now,
and they're going to make us wear. I'm telling you, Ryan, if every single person, man, woman, and child got the vaccine, they would tell us to wear the mask anyway.
Oh, yeah. That's what Fauci said. That's what they said. The vaccine.
Well, Fauci's saying we should have two. In his world, we would have two.
Remember, they said the vaccine is your ticket to back to a normal life. And then like, oh, they never said, oh, yeah, you'll still have to wear a mask with the vaccine. No, they don't do that. They lie to you. They blatantly lie to you and say this is your ticket to a normal life. And then, boom, oh, by the way, you need to wear a mask. And by the way, you need to wear two masks. By the way, you're going to need to get booster shot and another booster shot and another booster shot. Before you know it, nobody will be able to even have children, because there's big problems with the spike proteins actually going and impacting.
But hey, isn't this the ideology that thinks there's too many children? And China, who's running half this stuff, they have laws in China about how many children you're supposed to be able to have.
Exactly. The elites.
And then we have our pro-choice community talk about how they like China's rules. Not all of them, but some of them. And so sooner or later, they'll just drop the word choice. The word choice has been useful. They don't really believe in any choice anymore, except that one. And when they talk long enough, they don't even believe in that one.
Yeah.
They do not want you to make an informed choice. They want you to be forced to have an abortion if you have too many kids. So, of course, I'm not. And again, I'm not saying anybody deliberately put this or that in the vaccine. I am saying that the people forcing us to take the vaccine may just not care if a woman becomes sterile. And if somebody's out there going, Bob, how can you say such a thing? These are the people that promote not just abortion, but infanticide.
That's right.
It's real easy for me to say that.
Yeah, very easy. And
all right,
and
thing, I guess I should dial it down.
Yeah, so, well, no.
What's going on? What's going on, Ryan?
No, I appreciate
the passion. What's
the last
time you've been to the ball game?
Yeah.
How are your photo shoots going? Let's start.
Yeah. It's remarkable, Bob. These are the days that we're living in, and we have to ground ourselves. I'm trying to learn how to live in this quote new.
We have to get up and do other things and still enjoy life.
We do,
or
because
we'll go
there,
crazy.
Yeah, there is a limited amount that we can actually do, but we can pray and we can continue to pray, and we can, and beyond that, whatever we can do, if there is something we can do locally or even nationally, if someone listening happens to have that kind of influence, then great. But most of us really cannot do a whole lot about what's going on right now. And so it's learning. I mean, we're just seeing, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. Now, part of me wonders if perhaps with what happened with the California recall election, with what happened with the 2020 election, perhaps it just has to get so bad. It has to get so unbelievably bad before the people wake up. And it's not about voting. Like, Trump won in a landslide last time. It's not like we need more people voting.
Yeah, I was going to say the people did wake up, and they're trying to get them, but they got to do more than wake up, because it has gotten that bad. They have awakened.
Right. They have awakened, and they proved that in the numbers of the last election, which could have been in the 80 million plus. But now we're at a point where the people are going to have to stand up and protest on a massive scale. That if the people of California, I'm seeing some big protesting in New York City, which is really good to see. But I don't know what's going to have to happen, but there's going to have to be perhaps not just a million man march, maybe like a 20 million man march or something. And
well, let me tell you something, Ryan. The Biden administration knows that that's actually going to happen. That's why they're trying to label anybody who voted for Trump. Well, that was the first thing. Anyone who voted for Trump is a traitor to our country.
Yeah.
They're as bad as the Taliban. Well, actually, the Taliban are great, according to Joe, but that's another story.
Oh, he loves those guys. Yeah. He loves them.
And now, after a while, they're figuring out that if they want to, they could drop the name Trump and just call you an anti-vaxxer. And folks, let me say it again. I still have not gotten the vaccine. I still could down the road. I've never had a problem with the vaccine. But every one of you out there that has had it, and that was your choice, every person that's had it has got to stand by those who do not have it.
Yeah. You got to at least stand for liberty for those to be able, especially something like this that's an experimental drug. There's no long-term studies. We are the research. We are the long-term study. And we don't even have that. And then you have all of the adverse reactions and stuff going on with it. And so you have to, if someone does get the shot, like, we have to, that they have to understand that there might be reasons why people are not getting it. And actually some very valid, very scientifically valid reasons why people are getting it, when it comes to, like I said, the studies, when it comes to what even scientists are saying that mRNA technology does once it's injected into your deltoid. It doesn't stay there. It goes throughout your body, ravaging various parts of your bodily systems. You can't blame someone for being apprehensive about that.
Well, look how many nurses, there are hospitals that are starting to close down or at least severely curtail their hours because nurses are walking off because they won't take the vaccine. And these are nurses who had worked with COVID people. It's not like they haven't cared about people's health. Maybe they know something that we don't know.
Well,
and I think a lot of the people in these medical communities do know but they know they're going to get fired if they say anything.
Well, and why would, and I'm quoting from another article on the American Thinker right now. It's actually a great article. It's called Because They Are Evil. I highly recommend you checking that out. But this is what this article says. It says, why would the Biden administration declare a national vaccine mandate for all Americans, but exempt all of Congress, all of the congressional aides, the Postal Service, the federal justice system, and the
Supreme
Court.
Anybody that wants
court.
To come into our border illegally.
Yeah, and the Supreme Court because they are evil. Yeah, that's another thing. Why would Biden declare that all Americans must be vaccinated, but illegal immigrants crossing our border illegally do not have to be vaccinated?
Including all these people we got out of Afghanistan that weren't Americans, and then the Americans, we just kind of ditched them,
And this is what they did with Obamacare. They passed Obamacare on everybody, but they exempt themselves from Obamacare. They get their kids get school choice. Their kids get to go to good schools.
Yeah, their kids go to private schools.
But these
are the ones that are championing, you know, who loves private schools? People that live in poverty. Some of the African Americans. Many of the African Americans would love to send their kids to a private school. And these are the ones that are always bragging how they're protecting them. They don't want to protect anyone. They want them just back on the plantation. That's all they want.
It is. I mean, and that's why I think this elitism that we see, and case in point, if we're talking about the recall election, you know, that famous instance where Gavin Newsom is with he's with a bunch of medical professionals in that restaurant, maskless, not social distanced, the French Laundry restaurant. And so what was going on there? Yes, it was hypocrisy, but I think it was more than that. Because an elitist way of thinking, they love the fact that everybody else is locked in their homes, but they get to drive in their limousine.
Well, hey, if you
want
to be king, you want to know that you as king can do things that others can't. After all, you're the king.
Like, there they are, not socially distanced, not masked, in a restaurant. Other people can't do those things. And so it's like there's an extra enjoyment. That's that elitist idea that we can do these things, but they cannot. I think there's something deeper. I don't hear that talked about very much.
You're right. Absolutely right, Ryan. It's not talked about enough. And right now, when they get caught, they still feel they have to make some kind of an excuse. But he's discovered that excuse didn't keep him from getting reelected or reselected, I should say.
Yeah.
But the point is, the day will come. The day will come when he'll just say, you're right. I don't have to wear the mask. Because I'm not a little stupid surf peon like you. And if the day, and I hope the vaccine ends up being more good than bad, but let's say the whole thing bottoms out and becomes very dangerous. What will be the Democratic narrative, ladies and gentlemen? I'll give you three choices. The first two don't count. Donald Trump, thank you for playing. Let's look at the history of this. When Trump was in power and under his auspices, the vaccine was being developed. What were the Democrats saying? What was Kamala Harris saying? What was Biden saying? We're not taking this vaccine. We advise against it. It hasn't been tested. And after all, it was developed under Donald Trump. Then they come into power, and we have them on record a gazillion times saying, well, we'd like people to take it, but we can't mandate that. It's not constitutional to mandate that. That's moved on to, hey, you know what? We're going to mandate it after all. What's the next step? The whole thing bottoms out. Hey, don't look at us. We're not the ones that developed that drug. The problem, as always, was Donald Trump. They used to always say the problem was George Bush, but George Bush has figured out how to get into their good graces by dissing Trump, and now George Bush is their hero. So they're not, you know, they used to call George Bush Hitler also. He was Hitler every single day he was in office. And now they love Hitler. Why? Because Hitler turned against the other Hitler. This is the way these people think.
Yeah, it is remarkable. So I wanted to get your thoughts on unless there's anything else you want to say about the California recall election. I'd love to get your thoughts.
Oh, I've ranted and raved long
enough. Okay.
We can move on.
Well, you know, this whole phenomenon with Mark Milley, General Mark Milley, where he came out, and I'll just read something from Rand Paul, who's just been, He's just been incredible. Apparently, Rubio, actually, Marco Rubio has called for him to resign. Rand Paul is calling for him to resign. This is what Rand Paul tweeted out. He said, "I don't care what you think of President Trump. The chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff working to subvert the military chain of command and collude with China is exactly what we do not accept from military leaders in our country. He should be court-martialed if true. Couple that with his inept handling of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, and it is clear General Milley is no longer fit to serve chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and should be removed immediately." So apparently, General Milley, according to a book by Bob Woodward, of all people, this was...
No conservative and no lover of Trump in any
at
way,
all. That Mark Milley was basically working behind Trump's back, assuring China that everything is going to be okay, asking his inner circle or asking military members to like swear an oath of loyalty to him over Trump. I mean, this is some sick, treasonous, diabolical stuff that Bob Woodward is reporting in this new book he's got coming out. So I don't know. But I'm not surprised. It doesn't surprise me one bit. But this is our leadership.
You know, we used the phrase "a few good men" earlier. I love that movie, by the way.
And oh, yeah.
I love Jack Nicholson in there. And of course, Jack Nicholson's character is very strong, but he does some really bad things. I would prefer him to his smiley Miley. I really would.
Yeah, I know.
There was a time when we respected our generals. Mm. Is he the same guy that went and testified and saying that he's concerned about his white privilege?
Yes, or was his white rage.
Guy?
Yeah, I want to know.
I knew it was one of those higher ups.
More about white rage. This is what, and for me, I knew that something was seriously wrong. When remember that Fort Hood shooting several years ago when that Muslim, I think he was a...
Oh, is he the one who said it would be worse?
No. I just knew something was wrong.
But there was a military general.
Yeah, the guy that was over, the general that was over Fort Hood. And
yes.
he came out after that shooting where this Muslim guy had just taken out 13 of our soldiers.
And had been teaching as a psychologist.
Yeah, he was a psychologist.
Had been openly talking against the United States on a military base, and they did nothing, and they were enabling.
Yeah,
go ahead, continue.
And he was proselytizing, aggressively proselytizing for Islam as well.
But, God forbid anybody report him, because then they'll be called Islamophobic.
Yeah, it's insane. Just like with what happened in in California with the Islamists in California. That lady that shot up, that Muslim lady that shot up a bunch of people. But people had witnessed people coming in and out of their home and stuff and suspicion and all that. And people said later they didn't report it because they didn't want to look bigoted or whatever. I mean,
who can blame them, Ryan? Because that's exactly what they would have been accused of.
It is.
Had they reported it. Because back then they're reporting it and the woman hasn't done anything.
Yeah, with the Fort Hood, the general of Fort Hood, his name is escaping me right now, at the time, he came out and he said that the worst thing that could come as a result of all this, 13 service members being brutally murdered in the name of Islam, the worst thing that could happen from all this is that we lose our diversity.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sitting here going, call me a romantic, General. I think the worst thing that could happen already happened. 13 people got gunned down in cold blood, and they're being enabled by you, sir. That's the worst thing that could happen.
So we essentially have enemies, our enemies, as generals. You're an enemy of the United States. If that's your viewpoint, if that's how you feel about the service members, men and women serving in uniform, giving their lives, giving their all for this country, if that's how you feel about them, then you're an enemy of the United States.
And if Smiley Miley did go to the Chinese and tell them, I'll give you a heads up if Trump's going to attack you, that is... You don't have a higher definition and example
that
of treason
is textbook,
than that.
Textbook.
I know there was a time when that kind of treason, you could go up before a firing squad. I don't know what they're doing now. It's probably diversity.
You know what treason is now? believing that America...
Believing that Trump won the last election.
Well, believing that Trump won the last election, or believing that America should be a secure, free, and prosperous nation. I like believing in our Constitution. That now is treason. Because that, the greatest enemy to their power is the U.S. Constitution and our federalist system. Just look with what's going on with the vaccine mandates. You have like half of the states pretty quickly said, we are not following this or enforcing this. Some of the governors came out and said, we are not, we will not be enacting this. And that, the federalist system, our nation of nations, so to speak, is their greatest threat. We are, and those who believe and are loyal to that, to the founding of our nation, were the greatest threat. That monster that shot 13 service members, the Taliban, you name it, the guy that sawed the lady's head off in Oklahoma at that factory, the San Bernardino shooter, they are not, we peaceful, law-abiding citizens are more of a threat to them than those people, because we don't believe in their absolute power.
Yeah, and when we claim that we want to go by the Constitution, we're called extremists. But things have gotten so bad in the way they've infiltrated our education, K through 12 and up through college and grad school, that even if we made that point really well, hey, you're calling me an extremist? Then you're making that same accusation about George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, the framers of the Declaration, and they'll say, well, they're a bunch of white males that all own slaves. So, yeah. Look, Ryan, if they could just shred our Constitution, they will.
Oh, they will.
They would in a heartbeat.
Well, just look at what they're doing in the archives.
Right now, they use the Constitution to sue people. What's that?
Well, we just look at what they're doing in the National Archives, labeling our founding documents. I forget exactly how they labeled it, but as like, the National Archives, if you go to the Constitution on their website, they put a warning label on there.
I had not heard this, Ryan. Tell us about this. It doesn't surprise me at all, but I have not heard this.
Yeah, no, this happened. If you go to the Constitution, the Declaration, there is a warning. I forget exactly what the warning is, but it's essentially something to the effect of like, this contains like harmful information, or, you know, this... it was at a time, it was sensitive information. It's the same kind of warnings that we're seeing all over Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, and the warnings they're putting on movies. They should warning.
But
if you're a Marxist, this is the document.
Yeah, but they're doing that on our founding documents, on our very own websites. Now, for one, it's unbelievably disgusting. But two, it makes me sit back and think and wonder, why do they feel the need to do that? Are they really... warning us? Do they really think we need these warnings? Is that really why they're doing it? No. What it is, it's an influence operation. They're trying to influence everybody into thinking that there is something racist.
Because if we can be labeled as dangerous, then next comes legislation that says dangerous people should not be allowed
to have free speech.
Or go free. Dangerous people should be put in prison.
Yeah, first it's a yellow star, right, Bob? First it's a yellow star.
Yeah.
And then it's the concentration camps. And I hate hate to bring that analogy.
And there were all kinds of things before the yellow star, too. I mean, they had ridiculous. Jews can't go to the park. Jews can't own pets. Jews can't marry Gentiles. So, folks, if they ever come after you and accuse you of being a terrorist because you believe in the Constitution, here's what you do. One of two things. Get out of the country, turn around, come across the border illegally, and then they'll love you and they'll give you free health care. Or go into a supermarket and steal $990 worth of goods, and you will not be a criminal anymore. Just don't talk about the Constitution.
Man.
Just go out and commit what they used to call a crime, and you'll no longer be considered a criminal.
It's brilliant. And you're exactly... That's the thing you were talking earlier.
This is another one of those things that we're making up today and will probably be done tomorrow.
Yeah, the Babylon Bee is now becoming the truth. It's not satire. There's like, it's so extreme.
Yeah, it's either yesterday's news or tomorrow's news, but it's news one way or the other.
They're making it way too easy for the satirical sites, and that's a problem because that means they truly are in real life getting very extreme.
Here's the headline I would write today if I were working for the Babylon Bee, which I'm not, but if I was. Headline of the future, Supreme Court declares the Constitution unconstitutional. That's my submission to the Babylon Bee.
I wouldn't put it past them. I wouldn't.
We more or less are doing that anyway. They're just not using those exact words.
Yeah, I just wonder if they would at some point do that just simply to see if they could get away with it or something like that.
Yeah, our Constitution violates the spirit of our Constitution. It's a living, breathing document, and we know what it really means, so never mind what the framers say that it meant.
A living, breathing document. But no, it's actually a piece of paper. It's not breathing and living.
You know what's ironic?
It's a piece of paper, guys.
The forefathers allowed for it to be living and breathing in a manner of speaking. It's called amending it.
That's right.
It's not called getting some narcissistic judge to decide that he knows what it means and we don't.
Yeah, I mean, would they say
it's
it
back
was
back to the Newsom thing again?
Yeah, would they
you're
say
just
it was
a peon?
Yeah.
Who are you to read the Constitution? I've graduated law school. I'm a chief justice. I'll tell you what it means.
Yeah, it's remarkable. Well, Bob, we're kind of coming up on the end of our time here. So any parting final words? I know you live in San Diego. You're dealing with issues of free speech.
Yeah.
What are your final thoughts?
I will end with some hope. I'm a part of Skyline Church. I'm not the head pastor there. I'm the pastor of apologetics there. And our church flourished remarkably during the shutdown. And our church is just so many people being led to Christ. It's getting in the thousands. This is just since the COVID breakdown. And where churches are closing all over the country, sadly, Skyline's doing better than ever. And we're living in California. So God's doing something. One thing that came to my mind, Ryan, and it actually came to my mind right here while I was doing this broadcast, while you were talking, and I was listening, but this came to my mind because you were talking about something very much like this in the midst of hope and God. When Jesus came to Judea, the Judeans, and they were the Judeans, they weren't the Palestinians, but that's another show. When Jesus came to the Judeans, they were living under the Romans. Now, the Romans could be very tyrannical if you crossed them. They did allow certain freedoms, religious freedoms, but a lot of the Jews just hated the Romans. There was a whole underground organization called the Zealots trying to overthrow them. They were living under a dictatorship. They were a conquered people, and they were a people that had once been free, or at least free in that only God was their king. Jesus still came to them, and he said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And he didn't say you can have life more abundantly someday. He was talking as if you can have it right now. He says you can have it right now if you follow me. So, yeah, I live in California, and I'm so happy for those of you living in states that are not going along with this. I'm on the other side of this. May I use the word border? In as much as there isn't supposed to be any border in California.
What border?
I would hate to see them open up the southern border and then close the border where you get out through Arizona or you get out through Nevada.
I can see it happening.
My point is, even here in California, I know Jesus Christ. You can know Jesus Christ. Wherever you live, you can have life and have it more abundantly. Is it going to be as fun as the life we had in the past when we had more freedoms? Of course not. But I do still enjoy my life. I get up every day and I take a break from the news and I watch my favorite shows and I watch movies and I walk on the beach and I write fiction. I love my life. I enjoy my life. As you know, I'm very passionate about what goes on, and it is pure evil, and I will not say anything otherwise. However, I do take a break from it. I do know that we can enjoy our life and follow God, and God wants us to get a kick out of life, even in the midst of that. And I know most of your listeners are probably in Texas, Ryan. Well, only you know your demographics.
No, actually, like, Bob, this is going to surprise you. I was looking at my...
Are most of yours in California?
Yes. Most of my listeners are literally in California, not Texas. So,
well, I learned the other day that California, Texas, and New Jersey are the top states of my listeners.
Texas
what the
is...
Heck, What the heck New Jersey's doing in there? I have no idea. But
you're
hey,
smooth
if
like
you're in
butter,
New Jersey,
Bob.
We're glad you're here.
Smooth like butter. Your voice, your show is smooth. We love you, Bob. We love you out here in Jersey. We love you.
Maybe that day that I said Israel is a state about the same size as New Jersey, it hit some search engine and somebody found my. Who knows? But hey, if you're in New Jersey, you know what we're talking about here in California. So we're glad to have you. But I am happy for those of you in Texas. You can deal with it a little easier than the battle we're going to have. But I'm still going to enjoy my life until they shut me up or put me in prison or shoot me. And you know what? If they shoot me, I'll go to be with Jesus Christ. And what could be more wonderful than that? And by the way, for those of you listening that are listening to Find Problems, neither Ryan nor myself ever once in all of our crosstalks and all the times he's been a guest on my radio show, I've been a guest on World News, but never, ever, ever have either of us advocated for anybody to go out and do any violence. When we say fight, we mean speak out, take a stand. I'm not saying that there isn't a place for violence when things actually turn into a war. We are not at that place. I wouldn't know how to shoot a gun for the life of me. I could not aim. I don't even want to take lessons. I'd be the worst one taking them. But I do fight with my very loud, very strongly opinionated mouth. That I will continue to do.
Yeah. Amen. I love that, Bob, because ultimately we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus didn't say once Israel is free from the Romans, you can have life and have life more abundantly.
Exactly.
He said you can have it right now. And so like what you're talking about, taking a break from the news, taking a walk on the beach, focusing on our relationship with God. You know, honestly, I still believe my hope is, my hope is in Jesus, regardless of what happens. But I do have a hope that I do believe that in some ways it did kind of have to happen this way and things did have to get exposed if things were ultimately going to be fixed in this nation. So maybe we're on that path. Maybe,
it's very possible.
Yeah, maybe we're not. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could. Is God done with the United States of America? I don't know. Maybe yes, but maybe no. And it's looked dark at various times in history, and we have to have faith in Christ. We have to have that hope. I have some personal reasons why I do believe that we are kind of on that track to kind of coming back, that God will restore the Republic one day. But regardless if I'm right on that or not, you know, we do have that hope, and it's not over. It is not over. The reality is that and maybe on the next show we do together, we can talk about this, but we kind of talked about this somehow. It's a different kind of communist style revolution that we have going on now than in previous revolutions, right?
Yes, because they're usually from the bottom up. Somebody rallies the people. This time the people are trying to have a revolution against the people at the top trying to cause a revolution.
Right.
By the way, Ryan, I should just say this. I'm always a believer in correcting myself. I gave that analogy about living under the Romans and yet you could have an abundant life. To be fair and balanced, given the choice between living under the Romans or Newsom, the Romans are starting to not look so bad. So I just wanted to say,
I appreciate you clarifying that.
Well, you know, I need to be careful what I say.
Yeah,
if I
exactly.
say something, and I need to always show the other side. And
and on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for this World News Brief, Bob Siegel combined show. Bob, thank you for being willing to do this with
me. Always a pleasure, Ryan. Always an honor.
So always good to be with the listeners of the Bob Siegel Show, and I know the listeners of World News Brief love hearing from Bob as well. So make sure you're subscribed to both of our shows.
I hope they do. Lately, they've been hearing from me a lot.
Well, they have.
I hope they're not saying, hey, Ryan, does Siegel have to be on it every other week?
Yeah, I know.
It's your show, Ryan.
Yeah, it is, and it's my show, so I get to have Siegel on just as much as I want.
Well, you know what? If any of your listeners write me and tell me that, look, we like Ryan, just do your own show, you know what I'm going to do, Ryan?
What are you going to do?
Because Christ tells us to be gracious. I'm going to look at that and say, in my heart, I feel they wrote me a letter telling me they love me. being on Brian's show.
Exactly. They love you no matter what, because that's how you feel in your heart.
You write me, I'm going to just decide that it means what I think it means in my heart, because after all, isn't that what it's really all about?
You know what, Bob? You got a big heart. Who could disagree with that? Who could not love that, and who could disagree with that? It's beautiful. You're a beautiful man, Bob, and we do love...
Ryan, you're going to make me cry.
I think at least 5% of my listeners are happy to have you on, so really...
I'll take that.
Don't 5%. Be hard on yourself. I know you're great.
I'll tell you what, let only that 5% write me.
Okay, how about that? Those 5%... Email Bob at cgmradio.com.
The rest of you, what do you know?
They don't know nothing. Bob's maybe the greatest podcast host ever. You know, everybody agrees. It's totally true. Really special. Really, really special guy, Bob. So, all right. We should probably close this up. You guys, thanks for joining us. Hit cgmradio.com. Subscribe to World News Brief. Bob Siegel Show. Since you asked, we appreciate you guys coming on and staying with us this long. God bless. We'll see you next time. We'll be right back.